Well, we want to give Graham and Judith some time this morning, just freshly back on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, and it's wonderful to have them back with us. Graham and Judith, come on up. Let's give them a warm welcome back to West Ottawa.
Wow, look at those smiling faces. We're going to do this informally, and we're not going to sort of switch backwards and forwards, but we'll probably interrupt each other, but we're good with that. We've been married so long now that we actually finish each other's sentences.
What do you mean?
So
this morning, and a number of people already picked up on it, that there's a sense of what the Lord's doing here this morning.
Amen.
And what I really love when the Lord is in the coming together of the people, which he will be when we come together in his name,
Amen.
Name of Jesus, and we give him worship and praise, then everything that happens is joined together, has a purpose.
And a flow.
Even from the very first scriptures that Chuck shared this morning.
It's been a long time.
Tied in with some of the thoughts we're having and want to share with you this morning. So thank you for giving us some time.
Yeah.
We don't want to have a travelogue, but we'll probably tell you a few stories. And there's a few pictures there. That's probably all you're going to... There's a couple more as we go through. We're not going to talk about them all. There's a couple of ugly guys there in the middle. That was when I had the dress up.
And I thought he cleans up pretty good myself.
Yeah, not bad. And Adrian's wall was the only cold day.
Yeah.
But then that's why the Romans didn't stay in England.
Every time I ever thought about going to Hadrian's Wall and pictured it in my mind, I pictured it as a grey, drizzly, cold, windy day, and it lived up to my expectations. But that's what it's like in Northumbria, which is why it is the least it's the least populated county in the whole of England. Not many people choose to live there.
Yeah, just sheep.
Just sheep. Lots of sheep.
And as you can see, the crossing on the ship was amazingly calm. We even forgot you're on a ship sometimes. It was so... that was a sea in the middle of the Atlantic. We were blessed. And as Chuck was reading about that sequence of things, you remember what he said for us to remember this morning. But a storm, a tempest rose up. But the Lord was in the tempest. Fortunately, we didn't have to experience that bit.
No, we didn't.
So anyway, what we want to do this morning is really bring the stories together, but explain and describe to you a prayer journey. You never know what the Lord takes you on when you go somewhere. Our main reasons for heading to the UK very often, every year, 18 months, is to go to see family. Especially as the parents were getting older. Now there's only Judith's mum left, and we wanted to go and visit her, and we'll tell you more about that shortly. But we know that the Lord had us on this prayer journey this time.
Oh, sure.
We want to explain to you and describe some of those joys of prayer, and not just our prayers, but your prayers.
Yeah.
And that was... really the exciting part. So where are we going to go? Well, we'll start with a conclusion, as I always do.
Because he always does that.
When we understand prayer as keeping company with God, and we've seen that, Chuck often puts that down for the Monday night prayer. Prayer is keeping company with God. Then through all aspects of life, we live a 24/7 journey in his presence. And so although we're on a very specific journey for 4 weeks across the Atlantic, then of traveling around the UK, our life journey is the same. And we want to bounce around between that. What our journey very specifically in this last month was and how God was there, but also how we can experience that in life, in all things. So our UK trip was encouraged in prayer. Father's always listening. And the great thing is, it's his pleasure to listen and reply.
Yeah.
Not everybody understands that. And we'll get to more of that later. But it's his pleasure to listen to us. And it's his pleasure to respond.
Amen.
And we'll conclude with a little bit at the end of how we can misunderstand what prayer is about and how we don't always get the fullness of it. Psalm 107, as we were traveling, we continued with our daily readings we do together. We're working through the Bible with Nikki Gumbel, and each morning we'd get up and say, or evening we'd say, shall we do Nikki? And we'd read through it. And Psalm 107 was a large chunk of it. We read through that. And there were some really neat verses throughout the whole thing. So I'm not going to read the whole lot. A couple of key verses up here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We see that many times in the Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. We need to give thanks. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So this is Chuck's verse. You know, you got to tell your story. And we all have a story in life. Yeah. And this morning we'll tell you a little bit of our story. We won't have time to tell you everything, but probably over the coming days and weeks, little bits will come out. And then jump ahead. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. His unfailing love. And his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. You know, he has goodness for us. There's another verse in there that I didn't put on the slide. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So in this psalm, he's reflecting back on the journey of the Israelites and the journey of other people and all the stories we read elsewhere in Scripture, and saying, the Lord heard them, the Lord loved them, the Lord was there in their distress. So there was an element of that all the time. We knew that the Lord was there in the distress. Even though there wasn't a lot of distress, but some of the challenges, you know, it's good to know the Lord
a few little
is
challenges,
there
yeah.
with you.
Little ones.
So what about the ship?
Well, the Queen Mary is very big. And she's designed in such a way that she just cuts through the waves anyway. And we were incredibly blessed because it was really, really calm and incredibly warm on our journey. And there were times when we could walk around the upper decks in just bare, t-shirts and things, which is unusual because my previous voyages on ocean liners as a child, I always remember when we went up on the deck, you needed a coat on because the wind would whip across the decks. And it was not like this, that at all. And I took lots of gravel, but we didn't need any of it. And there were some times when I was lying in bed at night thinking, oh, I wish it would rock a little bit, because then it would feel like, you know, I was being rocked to sleep. But no, she's very, very calm. Interestingly, I think because we live in the country, we don't get around much. We flew to New York on the day before we were due to join the ship, and I suspect that we caught colds on that journey because we joined the ship on Friday, and by Sunday we were beginning to feel like we had sniffly noses. And we actually, I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday, we both felt really... We didn't feel like we had flu. It was definitely head colds, but our noses were running and we were kind of tired and not feeling great, you know?
Too much excitement and too much food, probably.
Maybe too much anticipation because we'd been looking forward to this for a long, long time. And then I believe it was Wednesday, the days kind of get muddled up. But anyway, Graham, am I right telling you? Tell me a story.
Sure.
Graham never gets sick. So the fact that he had a cold, first off, was kind of odd. And then during the night, he woke up and he said that he had a terrible, terrible pain in his chest. And it was bad because I knew that it was bad because he couldn't find a position to lay in or sit in or anything. And the only thing that was giving me a little bit of hope was it wasn't on his heart side, it was on checking, the other side. And it went, we had some Tylenol with us, gave him that extra strength, and he took that, and then he took some more. And this is sort of early in the morning, and it pretty much went on a lot of the day. And on a couple of days before this happened, the captain came on every day at lunchtime and gave a little update, how far we'd gone, what everything's like, really, really interesting stuff. And he said, we have a medical emergency on the ship, and we have to, and I'm thinking he's going to say we've got to go back to Boston, because we were on the eastern seaboard at that time. But he didn't say that. He said we were going to turn and steam back toward the coast, because there was a helicopter coming out to evacuate someone from the ship. And that's kind of almost unheard of. So that had happened 2 days previously, and all we're thinking of is, we can't possibly go to the medical center.
I'm not going to see the doctor. I don't want to be the second helicopter.
We can't be second helicopter.
But to cut a long story short, and I didn't die.
But I prayed. The point of the story.
That was when prayer.
We pray. I prayed. I prayed. Jesus.
My dear wife prayed Jesus, for healing.
Bring and healing. And
it went. It went. In the end, because humans try to justify prayer sometimes. But I'm thinking it was probably indigestion from the Indian dinner the night before. But it was neat. We did have prayer. That was one time. But there were other times we prayed for healing.
Yeah.
And the Lord just came in and restored our strength and healed us. And he does it. He wants to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had an email just after we're leaving. We were going to arrive in Southampton and meet our dear, dear friends.
Oh, yeah.
We've been friends with them since we're early 20s. I was his best man, and we'd grown up together. And we always visit and stay with them. And we got this email saying, they'd just got back from, they'd been on a cruise themselves, and they caught COVID and thought, you might not want to come and stay with us.
Especially as we were going from their house to visit my mum, who is not in good health.
So that changed our plans a little bit.
So we had no pickup, because they were picking us up. We had no beds.
No beds.
No food. No car.
No car.
No plan. Because now it's all gone down the tubes.
We just had the Lord.
And Jesus, what are you saying? What are you speaking? And just felt his peace. And we kept praying, Lord, give us wisdom and give us direction. Like that was our main two prayers the whole of the time. And we just felt that calm. And I am not... like, my go-to position is anxiety. Like, I'm going to be honest here. That's my natural thing, is to get anxious and get all uptight. And there truly was peace in the midst of this storm. So it's like, okay, Jesus, I guess you have another plan for us, and it's probably a better plan or a different plan.
A different plan.
Yeah.
So we don't know why that changed, but we had to work out. We did different questions and
different
tests,
scenarios,
different plans, and we came up with a great one, and the Lord blessed us, and we were able to get a car in Southampton rather than Heathrow, and we could drop it off at the airport to fly back and all that sort of stuff. And the Lord was good in changing.
And we
are
very blessed, because Graham had bought the internet package, and so we had the computer, and he spent hours looking at all different things and came up with a wonderful plan.
I'm still not ready to be cut off.
No.
even in the mid-Atlantic. And I was trying to work a little bit as we traveled as well, too. So.
I want to talk about the church service.
Sure.
On the Sunday, they have a church service on Sundays on the ship, and it's interdenominational Christian, not Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholics actually have their own service, and they actually have Mass every single day. And if you're Catholic, you can go to that if you want to. But this was an interdenominational Christian, and it was quite a precious time. It reminded us of the services we used to have in the Royal Navy, which weren't always Holy Spirit blessed, and because a lot of things in the traditional churches are done by rote. But we really felt the scriptures that were read and the way they were read with passion and the hymns that we sang. And we said together Nicene Creed, which we had this morning. Thank you, Scott. So that was a very precious hour. And we got to meet the captain and say good morning to him, shake his hand. And that was kind of fun because it's a big ship, right? There's 2,000 odd people on there. So, and the service was quite well attended. I think it was probably a couple hundred had gone to it. So it's very nice. Over to you.
It's always, Johnny, the last hymn was what we often call the naval hymn or the seafarer's hymn, which has got praying for those in peril
on the sea.
You know, in the middle of the ocean, you don't really want to sing that, but we understand the heart behind it.
Yeah. it was praying for other people who were in peril on the sea, not us.
For protection, lots of people are in peril on the sea. So there was a joy to be reminded that no matter where you are, you know, people can come together and celebrate the Lord.
So, and declare that Jesus is Lord.
So let's pick up a scripture. For I am the Lord. It's Isaiah 41, verse 13. I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, Do not fear, I will help you. And that's in Isaiah. And Isaiah was the other part after Psalm. When you read through the Bible in a year, you kind of do a Psalm or Proverb, you do an Old Testament and New Testament. So Isaiah was the Old Testament section, and we were reading through these verses as well.
And it was incredible.
Lord, as we prepared for this morning, we're looking back and just looking for scriptures that talk about prayer and how prayer is so important in life. This one came up, and do not fear, I will help you. Now, we weren't particularly fearful, but one of the things we were concerned about, and we asked many of you to be praying, was the visit to Judith's mother. And we knew that because of the prayer, he would help us. We didn't know how to handle it. Do you want to explain?
So my dad died in June, and my brother, who is living in the house, I talked to him on Skype or something. He said that he woke up in the mornings and he said, Judith, I don't know which one of them will have died first. It was that kind of a scenario. But my dad died in June. My mum is alive, but she has motor neuron disease and it's affected her throat. And so she cannot speak at all. She can't eat.
She does get the irony of that.
Yes. She can't eat. She cannot even actually swallow her own spit. So she goes around with a box of Kleenex and she's mopping her mouth all the time. So while we were there, we couldn't have a meal with her. Couldn't take her anything food-wise. We did actually have a cup of tea on the second visit, but it was kind of awkward because we're drinking and she's not able to. And so she's very thin because she's not eating very much, but she's living on soups and creme brulees because she likes creme brulee and they're pretty good, you know, it's eggs and custard and sugar. And
why not when you're 89?
So it was really awkward. So what happened was we took photographs. Graham had his computer. We put pictures of the sea voyage and our visit to Andrew and Christina earlier in the summer. We basically talked to her, and all around her house she has these electronic devices, and I think they're actually a children's toy. Now, I don't know if you remember, there used to be things that they were a pad and it had a sort of film over the top of it, and as you wrote with a stylus on, you could see the thing and then you would rip it up upwards and it would erase and you could start again. So this is kind of a modern version. It's electronic, so it's a stylus, and she just has to press the button and it erases. I think it's a kid's toy because it's very light and flimsy, and it, as she's writing, it changes color as it goes down. It's kind of fun. Anyway, so she was very vocal in her writing, and her mind is very, very sharp still. And so we were able to talk that way, and Graham was able to keep bringing the Lord into it in a very gentle way. My mom and I have a very difficult relationship, and we always have, and there's a lot of healing happening, and it's quite amazing to see. And I'm not actually sure, but I think she might actually go downhill now that I've been there to see her, because she's kind of fed up with the whole situation that she's finding herself in. So it's tricky saying goodbye on the last day, and I do thank you all so very much for your prayers. I gave her a hug and we walked, Graham and I walked down the lane to the car. As I was going down the lane and she went back into the house, I'm pretty certain that I heard her crying. And my mom doesn't cry. My whole life growing up, I never saw my mom cry. So she cried twice on this visit. The first time when I asked her where my dad's ashes are, and she took us up to show us that they're in the wardrobe, waiting for her. And the second time was when we said goodbye on that Saturday, because I don't know. But she could last a long, long time, but we just don't know. And it's such a weird and bizarre stage of life that we find ourselves in, and that she's so far away and we're here, but other people have had that in their lives too, so we're blessed that we can go over quite frequently.
And it is difficult because there's a whole, the major part of our life is our faith and our walk with the Lord, and she and the rest of the family have no care for that. They don't even want to talk about God or church. So there's a whole part of relationship we don't really experience. So we're praying.
I just want to share something. We were really encouraged on the last visit because my mom had a couple of little leaflets on the side and she picked them up to show us. And it's an organization called Tools with a Mission. And she showed this to us and we realized that all of my dad's tools that were in the garage had been donated to this organization. My brother found it online. He gave it to this organization, and they are Christian. So my dad's tools, and he had a lot, have gone to help somebody in the kingdom of God. And I think, wow, that is redemptive, isn't it?
Yeah, amen.
And she's delighted with it. She was showing us that all these people and how they can get to use these things. And it's like, who knew?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So the pictures you've just been looking at, that's the beach near where she lives. We were staying in a place called Kaster. If you look a little further out over the ocean, you come to Copenhagen, Denmark. So it's kind of up the east coast there.
It's very flat. It's boringly flat. It's flat for miles and miles and miles and miles.
That's how the Danes got there. Another verse that we always turn to when we're talking about prayer, and it's really encouraging, is in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And we're told there, do not be anxious about anything. So as Judith said, you know, sometimes it's easy to go to anxiety.
Yeah. Too easy.
And it's understood. Some things are very traumatic and
you know, difficult.
Difficult and hard in our lives. And anxiety is kind of that natural response, but the fallen natural. So the scripture tells us, don't be anxious. It doesn't leave it there, though. It gives us the answer. In every situation, by prayer and petition. So it's back to that prayer. We've got to pray. So we really need to find out what is prayer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we can do this.
That's good.
And petition. What is petition? Because that's the answer to this not being anxious. And we're going to conclude with that in just a moment.
And community. Praying in community is so powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it really is an amazing tool and a gift from God that he's given us. Because, I mean, I know everyone was praying, but we had a specific group that we could send out a request. And we just knew that we weren't alone in this.
Yeah.
And you guys were praying with us and for us and standing with us. And that really, like, it lifts something off of your shoulders. So do remember, guys, how important community praying together is.
Yeah.
And how, you know, when one person is down, their neighbor can be really positive and knowing the Holy Spirit working powerfully in their lives. And so that person from that place gets to lift the brother or sister up. And then when that one's up and really rejoicing at the victory and the presence of the Lord and the other brother or sister can be really struggling. And it works that way. It's that part of that life that God has given to us.
Right. That's good. That's good. And it's with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful. Even if it's hard to be thankful, let's be thankful just that God is listening.
Yeah. And he hears.
Let's not even think of the answer yet, but let's be thankful that God is listening.
And he hears.
And we have one more verse in a moment that will emphasize that. And in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding. Something happens when we pray in that way, when we bring our petitions, our requests to God, and we say, thank you, Lord, for listening. I don't know what the answer is, but thank you for listening. This is my question. Then some peace comes. Something happens, and we can sense that, and we did.
Yeah.
And of course, one of our challenges while we were traveling, we knew kind of a couple of days before leaving that Air Canada was talking about a strike.
And on the day before we were due to come home.
The math worked out. It was 21 days before they could call a strike and then 72 hours before the strike could start. And that brought it up to the 18th of September. Our flight was booked on the 19th of September. So we started by leaving,
Jesus.
In the past, they've always taken 2 or 3 days to get started, so we'll just forget it for now. Then as we were traveling, we saw more and more news, it's going to happen. Then we got the email from Air Canada saying,
change your plans.
Change your plans if you don't want to get stuck. We thought, well, we are stuck if we change our plans.
Because we're in the UK, we're not leaving Canada, we're there.
Trying to get home. This was a real time of prayer.
A real point of anxiety, potentially.
So this is where this scripture came in. Lord, thank you. You know all things.
Thank you, Jesus. You've got this, Lord. You've got this, Lord.
And again, we were looking at the options because Air Canada was saying, we won't charge you change fees. We won't charge you to cancel your tickets and all those sorts of things. But we thought, we don't want to cancel it. We want to go home. What do we change it to? Can't change it till later because we want to go home. Can we bring it forward? Well, maybe. But there was this peace in that prayer to not be really anxious about getting to change it. Let's see where it goes first.
Yeah, and a big point of anxiety was I knew before we left that when you go abroad, you have to take extra of your medications if you're diabetic like me. And I did. But I only took 3-4 days extra of my medications because I had to carry a month's worth, and it was a lot of pills. So it's like, okay. So a potential problem there.
The answer to your prayers and our prayers, Sunday morning, last weekend, woke up, and there was an email from Air Canada, and it's saying, strike averted. And they're not going on strike. All travel is as is.
And Graham was all happy, and I burst into tears. But it was tears of relief
joy.
And joy, and thank you, Daddy. You are so good to us.
So I want to thank, to have a handful of people changing Air Canada's plans and the pilot's plans.
You guys are awesome.
It doesn't happen very often, but 110,000 people every day thank you too.
Yes, they do.
Because they were wondering how they were going to travel. But that was just a sense, well, Lord, you're with us. You're walking with us. Now, we're not saying everything's perfect and everything happens, it's going to be a great life and all that, because it's not. It won't be. The prayer happened and they could have still gone on strike. It doesn't mean God failed us.
No.
It just means we would look for him in some different way.
Yeah.
It may have meant we'd given another flight on a different airline. Might have meant we got on a ship. Who knows? It might have meant we had to stay for a bit longer in the country to do something else. We don't know what could have happened. We just know that whatever happened, God was in it.
Yeah.
And that's what this verse is telling us. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's receive his peace and just walk into whatever happens.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, it's a miracle. It really is. And I've never seen one in all my life where unions and the employers stepped out. They came to an agreement before a strike. My brother-in-law, who used to work in human resources, when we told him about it, they're a praying family, and we have fellowship with them, and he said, oh, they won't go on strike.
Thought, he said they won't?
They won't go on strike. He said, they'll sort it out before the strike starts. And I thought, he doesn't know where Canada. But maybe prophetically, maybe he was just saying it from intellect, but he spoke the word of the Lord, which was joyful. Here's that other verse.
It's 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, underline that, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So we can have such great confidence in prayer. And this is speaking about relationship as well, okay? Because the more we know our Father, Father God, who's in heaven and who loves us, that is how we know how to pray according to his will. Because we don't want to be praying outside of God's will. If we're praying that, then of course we're not going to have an answer. And we're going to find ourselves in maybe frustration or maybe irritation or maybe feeling far from God. But it's nurturing our relationship, developing the dialogue in prayer. And I think Graham's going to talk about that a bit more later. But dialogue, where we talk to Father and we wait to hear what he has to say from us, to us, either through the scripture or through that still small voice that we hear and we know inside that's Holy Spirit speaking. And so I really encourage us all to get to know Daddy even better, because that's such a wonderful place to begin our prayer and develop that in our lives. That's so key.
So last Sunday was a great joy for both of us, but for me especially. Oscar is my nephew's son, so great-nephew, grand-nephew of some form. My sister's son's son, so her grandson.
And also a praying family?
Yeah, part of the church, and he's
16.
No, he's old now, 18.
No, he's 16.
Anyway, he's kind of just finished his high school, and he's kind of equivalent to a grade 12. So, he's part of this youth group. And the timing just worked out amazingly. The youth group were going to lead their Sunday service that week and talk about a summer camp that they'd been on called Limitless. It's one of these.
It's Elim Fellowship host it.
Yeah, and all the churches come together, 5,000 kids and that sort of thing. And
he'd intense.
It was intense.
Intense.
Oh, intense.
And intense.
And the Lord just allowed the timing that we could be there when he was on the stage sharing. In fact, that's him in the left-hand side of the three
holding the microphone
guys. And he's turns out he's a little bit of an entertainer. So,
he's just started doing preparing for college and all that. They call it A-levels in the UK. So he's doing all math and computer sciences stuff and drama. And he's really enjoying the drama.
But what really impressed us and got our attention, the theme of this summer camp was prayer. And this was the three of the guys that were available at evening share. Prior to that, five of the girls had been on the stage. And they all asked basically three questions. You know, what did you like about the camp? What did God show you, and how's it changed your life now? Sort of those three types of questions. And they all did amazingly well in responding and sharing. A certain amount of teenager ease, but it was pretty good. It was encouraging.
It was really
to
encouraging
hear.
And passionate.
Most of them said what they learned through this time was that prayer is a conversation. Yeah. It's not just talking to God. They were taught how to listen for God and how to pray for each other. And well, they probably heard that before in their church, but this was the emphasis of that week. And that really, really got our attention, because we'd been experiencing this prayer and we're starting to think about what to share today. And the Lord was just saying, prayer is so important. And what's exciting is there's these teenagers learning how to pray and how to pray properly.
And that's his family.
And that was my...
That's the next generation.
So to see that, it was such the cherry on the cake that the Lord just provided that time. We could have been there the week before and said, oh, glad you did it, but sorry we missed it. But the Lord allowed us to be there, and it was just one of those things. And
they were singing same worship songs that we sing here, so that was really fun too.
Yeah. So let's wrap up here. Now, we've been talking a lot about prayer, and there's a few things that prayer isn't, a few things that prayer isn't. And this is for another church. Nobody here does this. One of the things I have to be careful of, we all have to be careful of, is that prayer is not wishful thinking. I wish I could have a new car. Lord, give me a new car. Now, there's a balance, of course, between everything I'm going to say here, but let's just put some cautions out there. So we are aware, as we said right at the beginning, that scripture tells us through prayer and petition or supplication that we need to understand what prayer is, because if we're doing it wrong, how can God answer it? And we need to understand. So it's not wishful thinking. It's understanding. It's a desire of our hearts. It is what God puts on us, but it's not a wishful thought. Oh, well, I'll pray that because it seems like a good idea. Another one, head in the sand prayer. I don't know why I'm praying. Let's just pray. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what for. Now, again, it's balance, because sometimes Romans 8:26 tells us when we don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. Spirit. And he will pray through us, yes, the will of the Father. But sometimes, and as you travel, you get to hear different people pray and share what they believe in prayer. And sometimes, let's pray. And it's a rote thing. They just read some words out of a book and said, I've prayed. That to me, that's head in the sand praying. They don't even know who they're talking to sometimes. Again, there's nobody here. We understand prayer, and I know everyone prays sincerely. Another one that comes up, the magic genie prayer. God is going to provide everything I want. I need money, Lord. Send me money. Now, he does answer those prayers sometimes in accordance with his will, as we saw. But let's not think God is our magic genie.
No.
Rub the pot and we get everything we ask for. Yeah. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. He wants to give us provision. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. He can do it. It's whether it's good for us or not.
And according to his will for us.
And it's what he wants to do. So let's be careful when we're praying for stuff. It's not the magic genie syndrome. Demanding my rights. Lord, it says in Scripture you're going to do it, therefore I demand you do it. We don't pray like that. We're talking to Heavenly Father.
I would never go to my earthly daddy and talk to him like that. So why would I do that to my heavenly daddy?
Now, again, the balance is there's nothing wrong with looking at the promises of Scripture and claiming them and saying, Lord, you've promised this, then why can't I have it? Please. But we don't demand it because, again, he's the one that will decide what's right for us. And as you know, there's three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and not now. And the not now is the hardest.
Yes.
But when, Lord? And it comes along. So let's be careful when we're claiming those scriptures about when you pray, he will hear you, and when you pray, he will give you your peace. Yes, but let's pray correctly. And praying is it's walking with your Father. It's a relationship, not a religion.
Yes.
And I know you all know that. It's about our communication. And that's where we started. It's keeping...
Company.
Company, that's the word.
Keeping company.
Keeping company with God. It's a journey. We're walking with somebody very special to us who cares for us. We could be walking down the road with somebody and there's an uneven pavement and the person beside says, oh, careful, don't trip. And thank you. That's the type of communication the Father wants. Now, that was a simple example. Sometimes it's, The pilot's going on strike, but don't worry, I've got it in hand. Thank you. Let's keep walking. And we need to live like that. That's our journey. That's our life journey. We experienced it very extensively and in more detail than usual in the last 4 weeks. But that was the Lord was just showing us, even as you travel, whether it's to see family or to go on holiday, whether it's for work or school, then the Lord is still with us. You don't have to be here to have your prayers answered.
Amen.
And he walks with us. So, anything else?
Dialogue. But
you talked about that. It's a dialogue. It's that communication. And so it's the three things. It's talking, it's listening, and it's waiting.
Yeah.
And that was the exciting thing about hearing Oscar share about their youth camp, is that they were taught at such a young age that prayer is not just talking to
exactly.
God.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's sad when sometimes we go much further into life before we understand that prayer is a conversation with Heavenly Father.
And did you want to talk a bit about the importance of the relationship part? About being in relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, of course. And we said we'd do that.
We said we would do that, didn't we?
Of course. Sometimes this relationship we have with Jesus, the need for prayer is interesting. God will hear anybody's prayer.
Yes.
And we know that many people, before they knew God, cried out, "Help me," in some disaster. Sometimes they make a rash promise, you know, "I'll live for you forever."
I did that lots of times.
And God hears that. But the prayer we're talking about, that this communication, this journey, needs that relationship as well. We can't have this prayer life. We can't understand these scriptures that we're talking about, where we can seek the Lord, we can pray, we can receive his answers, unless we know the Lord first. And that was, again, some of the exciting things about seeing these young people, that they had experienced God in their lives. They'd received his salvation. They turned to him and said, "I can't live without you. I need you in my life."
Yeah.
As my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And it's that position that we have to be in. So whenever you're talking to someone about prayer, or maybe you're thinking about your own prayer life, start by wondering, what is my relationship like with Jesus?
Yeah.
Now, we don't know everybody in the room, we know most of you, and I know you're in a good place. But ask yourself, do I really know Jesus as my Lord? Do I really know Jesus as my Savior?
Yeah. That's so important. It's 101.
Right.
Yeah.
Because God can't live in relationship with you if you refuse to live in the house.
Yes.
He wants you to move in, and he wants you to be with him. And as he does that, then this life of communication, this life that we call prayer, becomes meaningful and real, and we can experience his love for us in keeping us safe, removing the fear, meeting the needs, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's so beautiful that the Almighty God, Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the all-powerful one, desires to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Desires it so much that he asked Jesus to go to the cross, to die, to pay the penalty of all of the wrong things we've done, all that sin, all that messing up, and the terrible yuck we've made of our own lives. Jesus took that on the cross so that we don't have to pay that penalty, and we get to invite Jesus to come and make our hearts clean, and we get to live our life from that point on, that point of inviting him to be our Lord and Savior, and knowing that freedom and starting to grow in that relationship. And it's so beautiful, because that relationship, I invited Jesus into my heart when I was 16, and it's been grow the whole time, and I'm still growing, I'm still learning about the Lord and his love, I'm still walking in his daily healing and cleansing and freedom, and that's the love relationship that the Lord offers to each and every one of us. So if you don't know that today, if you don't have that assurance in your heart, come and talk to either you know, us or Chuck and Val. And it's very simple to pray a salvation prayer. And it's such a beautiful and wonderful blessing in your life. Life will never be the same again, but it will be so much better than what you're living in now. There's so many of us in this room that can say yes and amen to that statement.
Yeah, good. Amen. I want to pray. Should the worship team come back? You got something else?
Yeah, they can come back up, but I'm going to
call them. Yeah. So, Scott, if you want to come back. Father, we thank you that you want to communicate with us. You pursued us in the beginning when we were lost. You brought us into your kingdom, and you've provided this way for us to connect with you and to have this conversation on our journeys. So, Lord, I pray that each of us today would learn something new about you, that we would step into this journey of prayer in a much more detailed and deep way. We'd look for those times where you answer us and how you answer us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us, raise up intercessors that can really search your heart through the Holy Spirit and pray. Bless us as we pray here on Sundays, as we come together Monday nights to pray. Lord, may we keep company with you on a continual journey 24/7. Lord, be with us, we pray. Help us. Come, Holy Spirit. Send us your peace as we bring our requests to you with thanksgiving. If there's anything that is on your mind or anything that you're anxious about right now, in the moments of silence, speak it to the Lord. Make it your prayer. Make it your conversation with him.